we enter Genesis 32. I've given you a bit of the background. Jacob has gotten his two wives, everything. He's getting ready to flee the country. And he's right at the river that separates him and his father's land. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jacob. He took them and sent them across the stream with likewise everything he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him in the hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint when he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And the man said, "You no longer are called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." And Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "What is it that you ask my name?" And then he blessed him. And so Jacob called the place Peniel and said, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Now, I read a story about a mom who was in the car with her two children going to a multiplex movie theater, and all at once her children started arguing about what superpower would you like to have. And there had been a lot of movies that summer, and so it was no surprise they were talking about superpowers. Is it the Golden Lasso? Is it the web? And the one brother said, "I would like to be invisible." And the brother said, "No, I want to fly." And the debate went on within the car. Flight versus invisibility, Golden Lasso of Wonder Woman versus web-crawling power of Spider-Man. And eventually, the mother realized it wasn't so much what superpower was more cool. It was picking the power that would make your life easier. And finally, one of them said, "Mom, which superpower would you pick?" And the mom replied, "I would pick perseverance." And the son said, "That is not a superpower." And they laughed at her and basically ignored her for the rest of the ride. But she said, "It may be true that it is not a superpower in the classical sense, but it's a human characteristic that is in short supply these days. There's not so much call for perseverance or tenacity or endurance. It isn't something we talk about in our jobs, in our relationships, with our possessions. We just kind of give them up sometimes and move on." And she said, "That's why the story of Jacob wrestling at Peniel is so important. It's so countercultural, and it's such good news because it's about perseverance." So when we enter the story, Jacob is traveling to his home to see the he cheated some 20 years ago to a father he deceived, to a mother that was in that mix. And Jacob, probably in the first time in 20 years, is scared. I mean, Jacob is the one who tries to control everything. The nice way to say he'd be a planner, but he's really a manipulator, a smooth talker. In the UK, they called it a wide boy. He is just trying to work every angle. And so he makes some preparations before he leaves. He prays to God, and I think probably the first time in a long time, "Deliver me, please, from the hands of my brother, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us." You notice he doesn't confess, "I've done something wrong." You don't hear regret in that prayer. What you hear is, "God, I need you to help me now. I'm in a really bad situation." And he sends Esau all these gifts ahead of time, like 200 female goats and 200 female sheep and some rams and some cattle and some cows. It is big stuff. It's impressive. Do you know that saying that say a teaspoon of sugar makes medicine go down? He like sent a whole truckload of See's candy just to cover it. And in case that doesn't work, he divides his family and his wealth in half and has them go into the land in different ways. So if Esau slaughters them, he'll only get half his family. This is Jacob. And so Jacob sends them over that river, that stream, and he waits by himself in that dark night because he's not going to cross over until dawn. And so I imagine he sits on the bank of the water and looks into that land of Canaan where he hasn't been for 20 years, and he's overtaken by fear and by worry and distress. So he sits there waiting for the dawn to happen, and I think he is overwhelmed for what might yet come. This is a man who cannot control that next day. And as night and darkness fall, God showed up like he promised, but in a very different manner. During the night, Jacob starts wrestling with someone. You notice in the story, it's not said who it is. Maybe he thought at first it was his brother who was overtaken by anger, but he probably figures out it's not. And wrestling, in case some of you don't watch TV, wrestling, how you win is you pin the person to the ground. That's the goal of it. And so the stranger and Jacob wrestle all night. The stranger, some people call the blessed intruder, is kind of tired of wrestling, so he just touches Jacob in the hip. And he pulls it out of the socket. That's no minor thing. Hugh, you once told me about when your hip went out of joint, and you told me it was the worst thing you had ever felt in your life. And Jacob keeps on moving. He doesn't stop. He decides then to ask some questions. I can't believe it. He says, "No, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop until you bless me." Really? Hip out of joint, wrestling with this person. "I'm not going to stop until you bless me." I just can't believe him. He's going to get one more blessing out of this, no matter what. But the wrestler ignores him. He ignores him and says, "What is your name?" Now, you all know how powerful names were in that day. If you know someone's name, you have power over them. I mean, just pretending to be his brother, he got all of the inheritance. And the wrestler said, "What is your name?" And in a moment of truth, Jacob actually tells him who I am. "I am Jacob, the grabber, the stealer of birthrights, the taker of sheep, the one who sneaks away in the middle of the night. That is me." And the wrestler says, "You are no longer to be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and humans and have prevailed." Jacob is renamed from the grabber to the one who strives with God. Jacob now understands, or maybe gets, that the wrestler's name is God. And he gets a blessing, but he also gets the pain in his hip and a limp that will stay with him for the rest of his life. It's a really strange story. But that mother of those two kids said, it is good news. Good news of perseverance, of blessing, even if the cost is high. And so I go back to her story. What is the blessing? Was it the new name or a new understanding of who he was? She says, I don't think it was the name. Jacob became Israel not in the moment God declared it so, but over the night of struggling with the Lord. Up to that point, he always had some trick up his sleeve or some angle that he was working. Jacob made fools of Isaac, his father, Esau, and Laban, but he had got himself into a mess he could not get out of. He could not fool God. By human standards, Jacob was charming and clever and cunning, but his true power or powerlessness was revealed to him when he was stripped of all pretense. And all he had to hold on to was God. The experience was the blessing. The experience was learning to hold on to God and persevering despite the cost. I think of people who have persevered through exceptionally hard times. I remember a woman whose marriage had survived her husband's series of affairs. She told of discovering betrayal after betrayal, and instead of giving up, she brought her husband to counseling, and through painful marriage counseling, there was a slow rebuild of trust. Years later, they seemed like the perfect couple if you didn't know what went on. Two loving people in a relationship that was a model of care and understanding. I was in awe as I listened to her, and I said, how did you get past that pain? And she said, I didn't. The scars are still there, but that's okay. They remind me of how strong this relationship really is, and what we've been through. Jacob never got past the pain either. For the rest of his life, he limped as the proof of the high cost of holding on to God, but that may have also been the blessing. When this country goes through hard times, we flock to movies about superheroes. I mean, just look at this summer. But instead of dreaming about powers we will never have, we might do better to learn to persevere. In the dark night, when fear and worry threaten to rob us of hope, we should, like Jacob, hold on to God, even if it causes us pain, learning to persevere through the worst of times, and that may be the blessing of a real superpower. I mean, it is really an odd story. It's this one who perseveres with God, and God said, I'm not going to leave you no matter how bad you are. And we think if we are the inheritance of Israel, Christians are that nation, that we're not descended from success, nor by the gift of land or faithfulness. We're gotten here by Jacob, whose history is absolutely awful. I mean, he doesn't have a great pedigree. He walks away with a sense of the other, but with a limp. That's our confession. I think that's why every week we confess how we fall short of God and that God will not let us go. We're not worthy of God's forgiveness, but it's there. It's grace. And I think of that wrestling with God and Jacob, it's really kind of intimate. You know, it smelled and it was sweat and grunts and dirt. But when God gets hold of us, God will not let us go. It also reminds me that God gets into our human pain and our human suffering and will not let go. Knows it. Nothing will frighten God away. I'm kind of knocked down, but maybe the blessing was God's perseverance to Jacob. That God never let this bad boy go. We get glimpses of a God who refuses to be named, to be controlled, contained, boxed in, or fully known by humanity. God remains God and reveals only as much as God wants to. This is a God who doesn't follow our carefully laid out plans, our sweetly offered but manipulative prayers to get our way. This is a God who is willing to wrestle with us, to stay with us even when we fight back, even if we're not worthy of such a love. This is a God who meets us in the dark places of our life, in the places that we wrestle with who we are and who God is. In those dark times, we ask if there is a God, and if there is, we're not liking you very much today. And sometimes those dark places are in everyday, ordinary experiences. And sometimes they're big things like betrayal or loss of job or having more than we can handle or being disappointed yet one more time. In times where we can wrestle with truth and who we are and who God might be, the story assures us that even in those dark places, God is there. That in dark times, there might be the greatest change, the greatest growth that takes place. I'm reminded of a story I heard about Bill Moyer, who had a friend. Us old people remember Bill Moyer. He wrote a lot about the Old Testament, and he was talking to a friend, he said, who had been wounded recently. He had had a heart attack, and he was very close to dying. And we were talking about the story of Jacob and Esau and God wrestling, and the man said, I know that struggle, because in the dark night, I found myself wrestling and wondering, what is God's purpose for this? Can I trust God? Can I count on God for what the future holds? And I found myself crying out in the days that follow, and I knew that deep inside in that darkness, I had encountered God, and something changed in me. And I found new strength and new hope and new comfort, but something else had changed. In my woundedness, I realized that all my life I had been wounding people. I'd been competitive. I wanted to succeed. In so doing, I wounded my wife, my colleagues, my children, and my own right to struggle and success. I discovered that I couldn't wound anyone anymore. That I didn't want to be the wounderer, but that I wanted to be a wounded healer. I'm struck with that. I wish this was a story I could tie up really neat and clean and tell you exactly what the blessing is, but this is what I think it may be. That we come our history from a people of failure, from a people of struggler, from a people who have wounds that we can see and that we cannot. And that we learn to follow God in the midst of that darkness. And that God does not let us go. That's enough to ponder for the next 5 minutes, for the next 3 days, and maybe for the rest of your life. May we have some courage to wrestle with God. And then just to let God rename us as beloved and forgiven. And learn to live with our scars. Amen. Now, friends, we're going to read a bit of what we believe, what we long to believe. If you open up your hymnal, You'll open to page 38, and we will read section 4. If you don't know what to pray this week, you can pray these words. Let us begin with section 4. We trust in God the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith and sets us free to accept ourselves and to love God and neighbor. And by